That's page 700 and something listed in your bulletin. Is that correct? Or it's just Isaiah 53, pretty much in the middle of the Bible. I mentioned to the early service as we found our place in God's Word that Isaiah 53 is a familiar passage that you will find listed in any lectionary or any list Bible reading plan for the season of Lent. For this reason, Isaiah 53 always points us to the cross, a time in Lent when we think about our need for a Savior. And so let us consider these words from the prophet Isaiah. Who has believed our message, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? He grew up before him like a tender shoot, and like a root out of dry ground. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and familiar with suffering. Like one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows, yet he considered him stricken by God, smitten by him, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shears is silent, so he did not open his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away. And who can speak of his descendants? For he was cut off from the land of the living. From the transgression of my people he was stricken. He was assigned a grave with the wicked, and with the rich in his death, though he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it was the Lord's will to crush him and cause him to suffer. And though the Lord makes his life a guilt offering, he will see his offspring and prolong his days, and the will of the Lord will prosper in his hand. After the suffering of his soul, he will see the light of life and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant will justify many, and he will bear their iniquities. Therefore I will give him a portion among the great. He will divide the spoils with the strong. Because he poured out his life unto death, and was numbered with the transgressors. For he bore the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. This Isaiah chapter 53, the Word of God centuries ago, the Word of God still today. Let us pray. Lord, for these words of the prophet Isaiah, I pray that those that have heard them can see very clearly who they point to. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing unto you. We know, Lord, you as our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So I mentioned that this particular passage, Isaiah 53, is always listed as a reading during the season of Lent. That's because the season of Lent is a season in which we take an honest look at the world around us. We see its brokenness. We see its chaos. We see all the things that go wrong in the world around us. Also, during the season of Lent, we take time to examine ourselves and we see ourselves for who we really are, broken, fallen, people who desperately want to seek redemption and find hope and purpose in life, despite a world that seeks to defeat us. We observe the season of Lent because we observe the reality of the world around us and the reality of our status before God, and we realize and we recognize that the world needs a Savior, as do we. Amen? And what better time to ask that question and to observe that fact than the 7 weeks prior to the time where we remember Jesus' death on the cross and celebrate His resurrection over death. Only He has done that in the course of humanity. Only He can be our Savior. And so in this period of time, this period of Lent, to help us reflect upon the world around us and to examine ourselves, we have undergone this study titled Undefeated. That in Christ, as our Savior, this world cannot defeat us. There's no trick that the devil can play that will defeat us when we are bound with Christ. There's no circumstance of division within this world that will ever separate us from God. Yet when we reflect and we remind ourselves of the division around us and the deceit thrown towards us by our enemy, we so easily can say, I can't win because of that. I'm defeated always because of right there. We play the blame game. We blame the circumstances of our lives, of our world, of others. I mean, Adam and Eve did that, correct? When God sought them out and found them hiding in the garden, clothed, He said to them, how did you know you were naked? Did you eat from the forbidden tree, Adam? She made me do it. It was her fault. She gave me that blasted fruit. Then God turns to Eve and Eve says, it was the serpent. The serpent deceived me. It's not my fault. I was lied to and I believed it. You know how easy it is for us to say, I can't win. I can't find purpose in life. I can't get things together because of others. The world around us is the same way. The circumstances for which we were born, the division that seems to separate us always, we point, well, it's our country's fault. It's my age. I'm just not as young as I used to be. Or I'm poor. We say we are defeated because of our circumstances, our lot in life. The parents that we were given that none of us chose. The land that we live in that we were born into that none of us chose. The time and the era that none of us chose. The ages that we become that none of us can avoid. These things that divide us, these things that bring us brokenness are things that we can point to outside of ourselves and say, this is why I can't win. I can't win because of this boss that I work for. I can't win in life because of this place that I have to live in. I can't win in life because of the people around me. I can't win in life because of this and because of that and because of this. I mean, we are always so prone to point at others and things to make excuses for why we just can't seem to get our lives together. But I want to stand here today and tell you that though all of that is true, that the world is against us, and that there is a devil who seeks to trip us up, I want you to know that the devil nor the world around us is your worst enemy. Do you want to know who your worst enemy is, folks? Do you know who your worst enemy is? Your worst enemy is you. We are human beings, no different than Adam and Eve, easily deceived and easily follow the desires of our flesh and bones, thoughts and emotions. You can't recognize that, you're not human, and you're certainly not a Christian if you don't recognize that your desires are your worst enemies. This desire, this inequity, this infirmity, this transgression in us, this sin, we can easily call disobedience. It's disobedience from the way God created us and from following the way of Jesus Christ that trips us up most in life, that defeats us. And so instead of always pointing to others for the things in your life that go wrong, the only thing you should be pointing at is a mirror that you're standing in front of. Because it's our disobedience that seeks to defeat us always. So, are we disobedient creatures? Sure we are. You won't raise your hand, but is there anybody here who have ever disobeyed your parents' instruction? Didn't clean your room when you were supposed to. You didn't put the phone away when you were told to. You dated that girl or that guy despite your parents' instruction. Guilty, guilty, guilty. Is there anyone here who's ever disobeyed the doctor's orders, or does everybody here take every last pill in that prescribed medication? Nobody here has pill bottles sitting around their medicine cabinets with pills in them, right? They're all gone. You've thrown them all out. You're following your doctor's health recommendations and diets perfectly. Cholesterol's good. Guilty, guilty, guilty. Is there anyone here who has ever disobeyed the counsel of a wise friend or your spouse? Don't do this, don't do that. Is there anybody here who has ever disobeyed your own moral conscience? You know, the little one in the right side of your brain that says, you don't want to do that, stay away from that, you really shouldn't do that. And then the other side of your moral says, no, you only live once, just go for it. Anybody ever listen to that still small voice that seeks to appease and please your desires, your emotions? We're all guilty, folks. We're all disobedient. We're disobedient because we give in to our desires. This is the same thing that was true today, was true in the time of Isaiah. When Isaiah wrote these words in 53, and he uses all those words to describe people's disobedience, transgression, inequity, infirmity, sin, gone astray, sorrow, all of it is because humanity is disobedient. And let me tell you about the people of Israel who Isaiah was writing to here. Do you know where they were when Isaiah wrote this prophecy, when he proclaimed these words? They were in exile. They were taken out of the land that God gave them, Israel. God promised to make Israel His very own people, His very own nation. He selected them out of all people groups across the face of the earth through Father Abraham and all the way down to Jacob, and it became Israel, and gave them a nation, took them out of slavery, gave them a land, gave them some rules to follow in the Ten Commandments, told them how to worship and recognize Him daily, and all they had to do was be God's representatives on earth with the land that God had given them and follow the laws that God required, And then as a result of God's chosen people, Israel, other groups and other nations across the world would see them and would then emulate them, and then there would be world peace forever because everybody lived in peace and prosperity, and everybody lived in a way in which God's law was recognized, and people lived in perfect harmony together because they reflected God's chosen people, Israel, in the land that He gave them. And yet, do you know what happened to Israel? They screwed it up. They blew it. They were disobedient. Instead of following God's way, they, like a sheep, went astray and followed their own desires. And it led them to exile in Babylon, where Isaiah writes these words. All because of human disobedience. Let's not point to anybody else. It's our fault, and we are just as disobedient as God's chosen people. Because now, through Christ, we are God's chosen people, all who believe in Jesus, but yet all still struggle with disobedience. And here's why. Disobedience is fueled by our desires. Got that? Fleshly desires, emotional desires, things that we want, people we want to become. We have desires for things. They're just born naturally in our hearts. And through our desires, we disobey that which is right or good or godly, and we follow our desires in order to become who we want to become and attain what we want to attain. And our desires, in order for them to be held in check and to not be disobedient, we have to actually control our desires with our free will that God gave us. Amen? Like, Adam and Eve could have chose not to eat from the apple. They could have said to the serpent, "Dude, you're full of it. I'm not falling for that trick. You eat the apple." So, disobedience is fueled by our desires, but God's given us free will to try and keep our desires in check, a moral conscience, to try and keep us obedient and living in His way and according to His purpose for our lives. But the problem with our free will is, well, we can't contain it. We can't control it all on our own. Our free will has to be, in order to stay obedient, our free will has to be guided in a certain direction. And this is where it's important to follow the way of Christ. Because Jesus gives us an example to follow. Jesus is our guide so that our free will would remain obedient. Ask anyone here, anyone that you know, anyone who has tried to become obedient and fight free will to lead them along the righteous path, and ask anybody who's ever struggled with any type of addiction, and they will tell you that the only way to overcome that free will that leads you down the wrong path is to have someone or something outside of yourself hold you accountable. My father has been a recovering alcoholic for 25 years. And he'll be the first to tell you that he could never do it alone. And that every week he surrounds himself with the same group of people. And every day he puts his knees on the ground and he looks to God and prays. And one day at a time, through the help of a community and through his faith in God, he is still remarkably sober. Is it his free will? No. His free will is being held in check and accountable by others who love him and are in solidarity with him, and a God who guides him daily through prayer and obedience. That's why disobedience will not defeat us, because we have a God who wants to guide us. You know, when those people sat in Babylon and they cried out and they lamented, "Oh, we blew it. God gave us everything and we just blew it," is no different than us today when we are disobedient. And, "Oh, I blew it. I'm never going to win. I just I can't control myself. There's just, my life is in wrecks because I just can't pull it together. And you know what? You're right. You can't. And Israel can't either. None of us can. But not for Isaiah. Isaiah stood there on that bank and he stood up and he says, but there is one who will take this iniquity off of us all. There is one whom we will find victory in, and through our faith in him be guided in the way everlasting. This is what we call the good news. And so if you wake up every day, or from time to time you blow it, folks, welcome to humanity. You want to live beyond that? You want to win and not be defeated by our own disobedience? There's no other way than to look beyond yourself. Look to the forgiveness you find on the cross and the victory we find over the grave. It's Jesus. Amen. Let us stand and sing of his wondrous cross.